Now that we're in the winter and we have this cold weather, it actually brings back memories. I've been longing for these memories of a summertime trip that I had. This past summer, I had the good fortune to take a trip with my family to the charming and beautiful southern city of Savannah, Georgia. And my wife and I were celebrating our 20th anniversary, wedding anniversary, and we wanted to take a trip. We wanted some time at the beach, and this seemed like it would be a perfect place to go. So we went, took our whole family in tow. We enjoyed a good time at the beach, lots of time at the beach, lazy mornings, walking around Forsyth Park with these beautiful trees, experiencing the scenic historic district filled with history, and a fair amount of Netflix, too. And we got to stay in a lovely vacation rental right in the heart of town. It was a really wonderful place to be. We had saved up throughout the year in order to afford the trip. Once we were there, spent up all our money and really lived it up. And we came home with some truly wonderful memories. It was an excellent experience that we had the privilege and opportunity to enjoy. During this trip, there was an evening. It was as the Sabbath was drawing to a close. It was nighttime. I was going to the grocery store to pick up a few supplies, and it had just turned dark, and the store was very busy, it being a weekend night. I had exited the store, and I was making my way to the van, and having crossed the street, going to the parking lot where I was parked. And as I walked in this parking lot, approaching my van, I heard a lady back towards the store yelling out loudly, "Hey, stop, stop!" And I turned around and saw a young man running away as fast as he could with her cart full of groceries, which she had just purchased. For a variety of reasons, this was a very disturbing sight to see. For one reason, nobody was helping, myself included. I would have had to sprint over a football field in order before I could actually do anything, which is my excuse. But regardless, what I found even more disturbing in this moment was the apparent imbalance of affluence that was clearly evident. This young man had stolen a cart full of groceries. This lady had the resources to purchase a cart full of groceries. It wasn't a purse that this young man had stolen. It wasn't a car. It was food. It was groceries. What kind of desperation does it take to steal food? Even though this young man was the perpetrator in this crime, it was impossible for me to not sympathize with the depth of his situation, even more than the victim in this crime. The only opportunity that this young man had, or believed that he had, was to find an easy target waiting outside the grocery store from whom he could steal food. That is what he thought was his best option that night, his most viable opportunity to get what he needed to supply the food for he and others perhaps in his family to survive. And there I stood with a grocery bag full of popcorn and snacks on a vacation 3,000 miles away from home with my family of six hanging out in a luxurious vacation rental, taking advantage of my opportunity to live it up. It made me realize what I had. The disparity of opportunity has hung in my mind heavily, especially enhanced by that moment, but not in the way that I feel guilty about what I've been privileged to enjoy or unworthy, but rather I feel a tremendous amount of gratitude. I'm very thankful for what I've been blessed with. I have health and love. I've got a family. I have a job that gives me enough to support my family. I have education, brethren, good friends. I could go on. But above all that, far exceeding all of the things that I enjoy in this life, I have the opportunity to know the truth, to understand it, and to live by it. I have the opportunity to live with the Holy Spirit, to be called out of this world. I have an opportunity to live a better life, which has nothing to do with affluence. The title of my sermonette today is Access to Opportunity. Take a moment to consider the opportunities that we have that will bring us what we want in life. Maybe it's position, maybe it's heritage, maybe it's something else, but just as this young man had stolen a cart full of groceries, seeing that as his opportunity to get what he wanted, we have the opportunity to, if we want, just like this young man did, we have the opportunity to throw virtue out the window, to ignore it, and take matters into our own hands. We have the opportunities of the world, but we have greater opportunity too. Everyone has access to the opportunity to let the world pull us away from God, but we, as members of God's family, have the opportunity to turn our cares over to God, who will fight our battles for us and carry our burdens, and who will bless us for our obedience. We are privileged to have this opportunity, to have access to this truth. Not everyone has access to that opportunity, at least not right now, but we do. Turn with me to Matthew 22, and I'll read this passage about the wedding party. I'll read verses 1 through 14. So, Matthew 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by the parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. And he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all the things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came into the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" There are a bunch of people mentioned in this passage about who were invited to this wedding party. They had access to the opportunity to participate in this wedding. But very few took it seriously. Very few had seized upon that opportunity. They thought that their other opportunities, the worldly, unvirtuous opportunities, were better. They thought that all they had to do was show up. But no, that's not enough. To seize the opportunity, the invitees had to prove how valuable it was to them. They had to take it seriously and do something about it. I won't go there, but we are familiar with the parable of the sower, where each of those people who receives the word of God has an opportunity. Some never are able to truly get into the understanding, having the truth snatched away from them by Satan the devil. Some believe the word of God, at least superficially, but then fall away when temptation gets hard. Some have the cares of the world pull them away, and they bring no fruit to fruition, to maturity. But the one who receives the word of God and loves it, does something with it, lives by it, those are the ones who take advantage of their access to the opportunity to live by the truth and to improve their lives. That is what we need to do with our access to the opportunity that we have. Not be pulled away by the world. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2, and I'll read verses 9 and 10. First Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Can we comprehend what that means to us? This is not applicable to everybody today, but it is applicable to you and me. We have a calling, brethren, and this is it. It is not a token. It is to be first fruits in God's family, to be his own special people. That is the opportunity that you and I have access to. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to neglect it? Are we going to turn away and go back to our farm? It's not the option that we need to take advantage of. I think we all have heard stories of individuals who have had an opportunity maybe to enjoy an education through a scholarship and have thrown it away because it was something that they didn't feel comfortable with. That opportunity is thrown away, but you and I have an opportunity that exceeds all imagination. We have access to be God's special people. Turn back to Philippians 2, and I'll read verses 12 and 13 there. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We have to do something on our end to take advantage of our special privileged opportunity. Sitting idly by is insufficient. We won't develop the depth of our conviction that we need in order to prevent ourselves from falling away from the truth. We have to stay locked in, engaged in the truth. Our salvation, our membership in the family of God, our part in God's plan as first fruits is a special opportunity that not everyone has access to right now. Some may make the claim that having this privilege that you and I have isn't fair. The fact is that not everyone has access to the same opportunities, period. We all have our own history and circumstance. Some have a big advantage in life as a result of nothing that they have done themselves. If you are called by God, you have such an advantage. He called you, not because of what you have done, but because he wants you. The person that you stand next to on the street doesn't have that opportunity. The idea of fairness isn't really the right way to think about this disparity of access to opportunity. God will give everyone a chance to access salvation and have that opportunity, but not right now. But it will happen in the future. So it is fair in that regard. God is just. The better way to think of this advantage that you and I have is that having access to the opportunity now, while most do not have it, it is something that we are responsible to maximize. We have to take advantage of it. Do something with it. We can't throw it away. When we have an advantage like this, it is our obligation to plant that seed and bear fruit. We have to live a life that pleases God so that we can shine as lights in this dark world and be an example. Allow Him to be glorified. We are beacons of hope for the future of this world. That's no small thing. That is your opportunity. That is my opportunity. That's what we can do if we take advantage of it. We cannot neglect this gift that is in us. That's from 1 Timothy 4 and 14. We have access to an opportunity now that most in this world do not have. But we also have opportunities that the world offers us. We do. And those opportunities compete against one another. We have to judge for ourselves which of those opportunities will win out. Will we turn virtue aside and seek the easy way of the world's opportunities? Or will we seize the opportunity that will profit us the most? And what greater profit is there than gaining access to eternal life within the family of God? You, brethren, have access to that opportunity.